Hello and welcome to Odds on CONMEBOL qualifiers for the World Cup. We have two games left only and still Ecuador, Peru, Chile and Colombia fighting to go to Qatar. So let's analyze all the games, of course, with Leo Bachanian, and remember to leave your comments and press the like and subscribe. Now let's go on with the show. Two games left in South America, Leo, and still many things to decide. How are you?
How are you, Edu? Yes, very anxious, to be honest, for this last two round of fixture of the CONMEBOL qualifier to Qatar.
So let's analyze, because there are some teams that still need to get their ticket. The first game we are going to analyze is Brazil-Chile, and here, Leo, I guess all Chileans are dreaming to arrive with options to their last game. They are going to face Uruguay at home. But before, as we are saying, they have to go to Brazil. Very tough issue that they have, very tough task that they have in hands, because Brazil, they won all seven games played at home, scoring 19 goals, only conceding one goal. And we know that this Chilean team is far from being good, actually. And that defeat against Argentina left them almost without any options to go to Qatar.
Yeah, but at least, you know, they recover some ground in La Paz, and also you can think that some wins end up saving some campaigns. And Chile defeating Bolivia, Edu, in the altitude of La Paz is one of those face-saving victories. It was an afternoon where, once again, Alexis Sanchez was the wonder kid more than ever. But obviously, if Chile does not qualify for the World Cup, then the 3-2 in La Paz will go down in history books as an anecdote, or perhaps as Alexis' last great performance with La Roja. However, those managed by Manuel Lasarte still depend on a true miracle, no? For which I won't be putting my money, to be honest. The miracle they need on Thursday at the Estadio Maracanã is an extra large miracle. Mm. Brazil is not just what they are doing in this campaign, but they never lose in the history qualifying match playing at home. They played 63 times, won 51 and draw 12. And I have no reason so far to believe that this will finally be the day when the Verde Amarela loses its record. But that's the beauty at the end of football as well, when you think that there is no chance. But let's look at the table. Chile is sitting 6, 2 points behind Peru, Edu, who is on a playoff spot, and 3 behind Uruguay. In this bleak panorama for La Roja, there is something which is good. Between Peru, Uruguay, Colombia and Chile, who are fighting for 2 places, the team with the best goal difference is Chile, with a -1. But then when you look at the history of the CONMEBOL qualifiers, you will find that since the road to France 1998, 24 teams arrived to the round of fixture 16, like this one, with 20 points or less in the bag. And out of all of them, only one team managed to qualify, and that was actually Chile. But that was a different time. That was the time of the Chile of Marcelo Salas and Ivan Zamorano. Against Brazil, they will play, or they will have again, Arturo Vidal returning from suspension after 3-match ban, and Alexis will lead the attack. 5 goals and 3 assists for Alexis. There will be also some hope in what Ben Brereton could do, but I can imagine that he's going to cut an isolated figure in the Maracanã, with Chile sitting deep and playing long ball for Alexis and the Blackburn Rovers striker. On the other hand, you have Tite, who won't be able to come with Rafinha, the Leeds winger, and with Arsenal defender, with Gabriel Magalhães. The first one is positive for COVID, and Gabriel was given special permission to stay in England because of he's about to become a father for the first time. But anyway, there will be another Arsenal teammate in Rio. That will be Gabriel Martinelli. He had his first call-up for Brazil, and very well deserved, to be honest. He can terrorize defenders on 1v1 situation, and he's another addition to Brazil's quality on the flanks. Anthony, talking about the players on the wing, Anthony yesterday scored the winner for Ajax in the derby against Feyenoord in the Eredivisie, and for sure he will have his minutes in this round of fixtures. So yes, no doubt about Brazil the favorite. No wonder the 1.42 that pays a Brazil win. An Asian handicap of -1.5 for Brazil. has odds of 2.2. Brazil to win at halftime and Brazil to win at full time comes with odds of 2.1. And a clean sheet for Brazil is at 1.83, but slightly better than that is Brazil to win 2-0, which has odds of 2.2.
Great, Leo. We have to remember only one goal conceded for Brazil in the fixtures they've played at home. So you give Chile no option, no, I guess, in Brazil.
Not really.
Poor Chileans, poor Chileans. another team that has a lot of difficulties to qualify for Qatar, Colombia, yeah. Bolivia, and another team that they are struggling a lot to score. No goals scored in the last seven games since they beat Chile, actually, in September. It's crazy to think that, right, Leo? Especially when we see the roster of Colombia, especially now, even with Luis Díaz, with Santos Borré, they had Muriel, they had Zapata, but they were unable to score. They need to beat Bolivia. Now Bolivia with no options at all to go to Qatar. We know that the Bolivians are always way worse when they are playing on the road. Can we back here Colombia to get the 3 points?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And despite the record that you were saying, that I was also going to talk about, I mean, if I was mentioning an extra large miracle for Chilean hopes, what to say, no, about Colombia, Edu? They are seventh with 17 points. They are 4 points behind Peru and five behind Uruguay. Colombia never qualified to a World Cup when coming to the last two round of fixtures in the seventh position. As I was saying before, the biggest gap that the national team in South America managed to reduce in the last games in order to qualify, that was 3 points, and that was Chile in 1998. So we have no precedent of being 4 points behind in the last two rounds of fixtures and still reach a World Cup. But how did they arrive, not to this situation? You started saying very precisely that last September Colombia won at home 3-1 against Chile with a very good display of Miguel Borja, Luis Diaz. They both scored that night in Barranquilla. Rafael Santos Borré played a good match that night against Chile. But from there, they played, yes, 7 matches, 21 points. But Reinaldo Rueda's men only managed to get 4 points out of those 21 with 3 draws at home and 1 away in Montevideo. But worst of all, despite, as you were saying, some of the best strikers in the continent, in those 7 games since defeating Chile in September, they scored none. And when I'm saying none, I'm saying it in capital letters. 646 minutes without a goal for Colombia. In the last 6 matches, Edu, they had 50 shots on goal, but only 6 of them found the target. Of course, if you will choose a rival to whom you can start turning around these depressing stats, that would be Bolivia. This Bolivia when playing away from home. If Luis Diaz could translate at least 50% of his form in Liverpool to the Cafeteros, then for sure, by the time we do the preview show of the last round of fixtures, we could be commenting on how Colombia found the net again. Colombia will have 1 year in Rio and the other in Montevideo, that is for sure. The best that could happen to them is that Brazil and Uruguay takes the 3 points and Colombia win, of course. Without that, they got nothing. That scenario of Chilean and Peruvian defeats could leave Colombia with 20 points, only 1 point behind Peru before the last match when they will travel to Venezuela and Peru will host Paraguay. Colombia is the favorite, so that is why, despite their terrible attacking record in the last 7 matches, I would still I could understand why goals over 2.5 pace only 1.51. But an Asian handicap of minus 2.5 has odds of 2.23. I expect Colombia to finally break this very poor record of not finding the net. With Colombia taking the initiative straight away, Edu, and attacking from the first minute, as I imagine, I will then look at the first half goals over 1.5. First half goals over 1.5, which has odds of 2.2.
Well, let's hope not that Colombia arrive alive to their last game. Very difficult task for Colombia again to qualify. What a bad job, no? We can say Reinaldo Rueda has done with Colombia. The the Colombians are not happy at all. And let's talk about happiness. And this is Ecuador, that they are this close to qualify for the World Cup in this case. They are traveling to Paraguay, 7 consecutive games also for Paraguay without conceding a goal. You will tell me, but perhaps we haven't seen any improvement under Barros Esqueloto for this Paraguay, whereas Ecuador, they are already in the playoff. They have the ticket for the playoff, and now they can qualify directly away. They've beaten Chile and Bolivia. Will they beat Paraguay and get the ticket to Qatar?
Well, the hopes are in there, no? For the three, they are at the door of something historic. They know that they have secured a playoff spot at the minimum, but they want the direct spot and they're about to do it. Edu, it seems that it happened a century ago, but before Gustavo Alfaro took over the three, only a month before the start of this qualifying campaign during the pandemic, the manager in charge of Ecuador, if I give you a trivia, but it happened to me as well, I think we wouldn't have choose the correct option. The manager in charge of Ecuador before Gustavo Alfaro took over, and although he didn't manage to take the team in a single competitive match, you know who was? Jordi Cruyff.
Whoa.
Jordi Cruyff was the manager of Ecuador before Alfaro took over. Alfaro has done a great job. It's true that there has been ups and downs. You will remember how harshly he was criticized during the Copa America in Brazil, but he trusted the new generation of players. Yes, of course, you will still have Ener Valencia or Michael Estrada, but Piero Incapié, Moises Caicedo, Byron Castillo, or Brian Sarmiento will be around for a long time in the tree. Alfaro has so far used 48 players, but 36 of them played for the first time in a World Cup qualifier. The average age of the team on the road to Russia was a little bit over 33 years old. And now, on the road to Qatar, the average age of the three is little over 25 years old. So it's a complete overhaul what Alfaro has done, but it's also credit to the work that Ecuador is doing at the formative level of the game. At the 2019 Under-20 World Cup, Ecuador finished in historic first place. Independiente del Valle has won Under-20 Libertadores a few years in a row as well. In this campaign, they had victories for the record books, like the 6-1 against Colombia, or the 4-2 against Uruguay. Even the 1-1 with Brazil at home in January was seen as a disappointment because they felt that they had the chance to win and secure their qualification. And that tells a lot. Alfaro has said already that the qualification to Qatar will mark his greatest achievement in his career. The head-to-head shows that the last two visits to Asunción ended with defeats for the three, both times in a 2-1 for Paraguay, although Ecuador, for me, is the favorite on this one for Thursday. Even a draw would be enough for Ecuador to open the champagne. Gustavo Alfaro's team haven't scored in 4 of the 8 away games this campaign, but they have managed to score at least one goal in the last 6 matches. And on the other hand, as the case with Colombia, Paraguay haven't scored a single goal in the last 7 matches. We saw them losing 5, drawing 2, and conceding 12 times. So an Ecuador win at 2.49 looks appropriate for me. With Paraguay out of absolutely everything, I can't see a typical defensive display in which they tend to concentrate their maximum resources and attention at sitting deep. When there is no match to play for, you know, concentration is hard to keep and matches tend to be a little bit more open. So I will be looking at goals over 2.5. With the odds of 2.55. Of course, Ecuador or those in the bench will be looking at live scores of the other matches, and players will have real-time information of what's going on. For that reason, I believe the half with most goals will be the second one, and that comes with odds of 2.2.
For sure, they will pay attention to what is going to happen in Montevideo. Uruguay-Peru is our next game. Remember that Professor Tavares is no longer Uruguayan coach, but it is Diego Alonso. He started with the right foot. They beat Paraguay, they beat Venezuela, and now they are fourth. The question is that Leo, will also Uruguay be able to beat Peru? They are making another miracle with great results lately. We almost ruled them out of the World Cup, and they are getting lately the result. Gareca's men, will they surprise us against Uruguay?
It's a tough one, to be honest. This one is the game of this round of fixtures. There's no doubt about it. They are fourth with 22 points, and 26 teams out of 29 that arrived to the last two fixtures with 22 points have managed to qualify to the World Cup. That is 90% of the team, so they can secure a ticket here with a victory. But they can also get into trouble if they don't win. Well, a draw will not be a good result if Chile beats Brazil. I'm thinking that the last match will be actually against Chile away, but we already talked what I think about that. So a point may not be seen as a disaster, but of course will always depend on the context of the game, if they were superior or not. The reality is that in the last 2 months we went from, as you were saying, from pessimism and the sack of Maestro Tavares, who was 15 years in charge of La Celeste, to this situation where fans are hailing Diego Alonso, the new manager, after the successive victories against Paraguay and Venezuela. The head-to-head shows a clear superiority for Uruguay, Edu. Since 1965, they played nine qualifying matches in Montevideo, with the Charrúas winning six, Peru two, and one draw. Always they play at home. When they play at home, Uruguay has an edge. Since the road to South Africa 2010, they played 35 games in Montevideo and they lost only five. And those defeats were always either against Brazil or Argentina. Darwin Núñez arrives in style after securing Benfica's pass to the quarterfinal of the Champions League. Valverde was in the starting lineup yesterday in El Clásico. We're not going to talk about that, don't worry. The
No.
Arrascaeta is still very the Arrascaeta is still very important in Flamengo. Lucas Torreira scored on Saturday against Inter for his team Fiorentina. Suárez and Cavani, yes, are not playing much lately, but they are still delivering with La Celeste. And if I was saying that what Alfaro is doing in Ecuador is an amazing job, what to say about Ricardo Gareca in Peru? Around 2 weeks ago was the seventh anniversary of El Tigre taking command of the national team. Gareca reconciled Peru with his history, a history of good football, to be honest. Before Gareca landed in Lima, Peru had not participated in the final phase of a World Cup since Spain 1982. He took them to Russia, and they are certainly close to Qatar. I believe that the experience on the road to Russia, when they secure a playoff spot in the last fixture, will serve Gareca's players, or at least will be used. They are used to this uncertainty, intensity, and some nerves. Yes, for me, Uruguay is a favorite, but 7.60 for a Peruvian win sounds a bit over the top for me. I think they are closer than what the odds suggest in that regard. I expect both teams to score, which has odds of 2.5. And taking that into account, goals over 2.5 stands with 2.64. And finally, a double chance for Peru has odds of 2.32.
Yeah, very short victory for Uruguay, only 1.69, and it looks very good actually. The both teams to score, as you mentioned, the odds are very high, 2.5. Then, Leo, we have Argentina, Venezuela still left, but I want to ask you, after your tips, which teams do you think will qualify for Qatar?
Well, obviously Argentina, Brazil are there. Ecuador, Uruguay, for me will get the fourth spot, and Peru will get another playoff opportunity.
Okay, so at least as it stands by now, actually. And let's jump to the next game. It's going to be played in the following day, Argentina Venezuela. You mentioned Argentina already qualified. They can still get their unbeaten run a little bit longer. Beat Colombia in their last games. I guess Leo, playing against the worst team in the continent, everyone is confident enough, no, to keep this run even longer.
Yes, this fixture also will represent the goodbye of the Argentinian fans to the team, because it will be the last match at home until the World Cup. Argentina plays Ecuador in Quito next week, and then the windows of June and September will be used for friendly matches likely to be played in Europe, so there's going to be a party mood in La Bombonera on Friday. No one knows what Messi will decide after Qatar, if he will still be playing for Argentina or not. So against Venezuela could also be Messi. Who knows? Last game in Argentinian soil will be Albiceleste. That is a possibility, at least. But Messi is also in doubt. He did not take part of PSG squad yesterday in the 3-0 defeat against Monaco because he was sick. So there is some speculation if he will travel or not. Scaloni is already without Emiliano Martinez, Cuti Romero, Lo Celso, and Buendia because they all received two games ban after the events in Brazil on the afternoon that the game lasted only 5 minutes. Yesterday, Lisandro Martinez, the Ajax centre-back, got injured in the last minute of the match and will also miss both matches. Actually, Scaloni's list has many names who, with all the due respect, Edu, I have no idea who they are. I mean, he went for youngster and he went for youngster to secure that they are attached to the Albiceleste, no? Because many of them, as I will tell you, they played in Italy or in Spain and they were born in those countries as well. Luca Romero, we know him from Mallorca, but now he's in Lazio. But then there is also Alejandro Garnacho from the under-18 of Manchester United. You have Nicolas Paz from Real Madrid Academy. You have Thiago Geralnik from Villarreal Academy, or Matías Soulé from the Juventus Academy. So it's been a good scouting, thinking into the future, but not many people, to be honest, have seen them play so far. And for Venezuela, it's another opportunity to keep learning what José Pekerman wants from his players. Pekerman, no doubt, will get a standing ovation, I believe, from the Argentinian supporters. The debut against Bolivia was promising. Remember, a 4-1 for Venezuela, but then Uruguay trashed them with the same result in Montevideo days later. Of course, with all the important players sidelined and the uncertainty with Messi, the Vinotinto may be entitled to think that maybe they could do what they've done in 2017 on the road to Russia when the match ended in Argentina with a draw, 1-1. But here, Argentina, for me, obviously, the favorite, Edu. An Asian handicap of -2 for the Albiceleste has odds of 2.25. The Albiceleste to win both halves has odds of 2.44. And Argentina to score in both halves come with odds of 2.
We have to remember, Leo, Venezuela 0 points when they are playing as visitors, all defeats. So it doesn't look good for Pekerman men. Only 3 goals scored, 18 goals conceded when they are playing on the road. So, of course, Argentina super favorite. Leo, 5 games analyzed. Let's see your academy for this week.
Okay, get ready for my usual big numbers then. So, Brazil, Chile, Brazil to win. Colombia, Bolivia, first half goals over 1.5. Paraguay, Ecuador, second half being the half with most goals. Uruguay, Peru, both teams to score. Argentina, Venezuela, Argentina to score in both halves. All this leaves me with an ACA of the noise of drums, 47.28. And the South American qualified, yes.
Yeah,
I'm used to this, yes.
Thank you, Leo. See you for the next and last match day.
My pleasure, Leo. See you next time.
You have now all the tips to bet in this new match day. Only 2 games left. Which teams are going to qualify for Qatar? Let me know your thoughts in the comment section. And don't forget to press the like and subscribe. Or if you prefer, remember that we have a podcast for you. Thanks for watching. See you soon.